Ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen? I don't have money, what's the worst that can happen? I don't have love, what's the worst that can happen? Nothing. Right? Then what is this struggle for? What is this race for? What are you trying to really jump into? But what's the best that can happen? There's a lot of answers, right? When you let go of all of this. At the end of it, nothing happens, you'll die. Then what? Nothing. So what is the point of this? You're leaving no mark here. Human history is a blip. Civilizations are a blip. You probably know history from the last 300 years as maybe some form of definite. Nothing before that. So people before that came and went and did a lot of stuff thinking they were damn important. You know, what is the point of all this? If you can't be happy on a daily basis.
That man right there is Vivek Ram, who is the Senapati of Vanasena Studios and Vanasena School. Vanasena Studios is a one-of-a-kind animation and digital media house where they primarily focus on Indian stories and designs. Vanasena School, on the other hand, is a very intriguing concept where they provide free education, free stay, free food, and in return, you basically get to gain experience, which I think is a pretty swell deal if you ask me. So yeah, at the beginning of the conversation, Vivek really encapsulates what Vanasena Studios and Vanasena School is about. So yeah, stay tuned for that. But yeah, in this conversation, we go into the differences between communal lifestyle versus an individualistic lifestyle. Basically, how we always have that sense of belonging, how we want to be part of a community, but also have a conflict as to what is our individual personality like? Do we keep our selfish well-being ahead of maybe the community's interests? So yeah, we talk about that. We also talk about why today's generation goes through all these issues with mental health, self-doubt, and ambitions. Well, I know I've had my fair share of issues when it comes to all of this. And I think it's not really going to stop anytime soon either. I think that's just the world we live in right now. And I think the kind of exposure that this particular generation has, the millennials, the Gen Zs have, well, these issues are always going to be there. It's just a matter of how well you're able to handle it and overcome it. So I'm hoping after this conversation, you might have better tools or be equipped with better tools to handle all of this. At least I was. It really was an eye-opener for me. There's also this part where we talk about the structure and hierarchy within a family and how that has changed over the years in India. It's a very, I know it sounds a little drab, but it's a very intriguing and a very interesting concept. At least that too was an eye-opener for me. So yeah, there's so much more to this, and this is exactly why you should check out the full episode too. What else do we have here? Oh yeah, we're nearing the episode 50 mark. And if you've been following the show for a while now, you'll know that we've been taking questions and feedback for the show. So I think between that episode 20 odd, I don't remember the exact number, but from 20 till about 30, 35, 35th episode, I used to put out these bits in the intro and outro talking about how you can send in your questions and we'll have either I or the guests answer it on the show. And well, you guys really showed up. You actually sent me a whole bunch of questions. But yeah, the more I thought about how we can incorporate these questions into a show, it's when I realized that just simply reading out these questions and answering them is okay. I mean, a lot of shows do that, but how about we engage and really, really collaborate with our audience, our listeners, our viewers? So yeah, what we decided to do was to really feature you on the show and have your face and voice on the show. So yeah, what you can do now is basically send in your questions in video format. Just pull out your phone, or if you want to set up the camera and record it really professionally, well, be my guest. That's what the show is about, right? So if you want to do all of that, just send us a video, maybe about a minute and a half long, talking about maybe how the show's helped you out. And second, most importantly, what your question is for us. Something that I think maybe our experience can really help you with in your journey. So yeah, send us your questions to contact@akashdamodhan.com. I'll leave a link to it in the description below. But yeah, I think this is a very easy way for you to be featured on the show. So yeah, I'll also be doing a dedicated AMA session and Ask Me Anything session. So I will cover a couple of those questions there in that episode. But having said that, what I will also try and do is incorporate your questions into the conversations with our guests. So that way, even they can bring their expertise to the table and answer some of these and help you out in your journey. So yeah, I guess that it. Oh yeah, this show's audio is brought to you by Sennheiser. I'll talk more about this collaboration. Well, this mic right here, can you hear me? Does it sound great? Well, it sounds nice and poppin' because of this mic. So yeah, I'll talk to you more about our collaboration with Sennheiser, our audio partner, a little later in the episode. I guess that's pretty much it. Let's get into the episode. No, actually, wait a second. Most episodes, I don't ask you guys to hit the like button, especially at the beginning. But what I want you guys to promise me here is if you do like the content, if you do like the episode and you're watching this on YouTube, then promise me you'll hit the like button and you won't click away without hitting the like button. It's a promise. It has to be set in stone. Are you up for the promise? Yeah, are you up for the challenge? It's not too much of a challenge. It takes you literally 1 millisecond to hit that like button. So yeah, if you do like it, don't hit it right now. If you do like the conversation, then hit the like button. And if you're listening to this over audio though, then maybe just rate and review the episode. That's a very easy way to get the show in front of more people. Yeah, I guess that's it. Let's get into the conversation. This is my conversation with Vivek Ram. This is Against the Odds, and I'm your host, Akash Damodaran. This show is all about inspiring people to take the unconventional path and lead a life that is truly fulfilling and rewarding. Watch and listen as talented individuals take us through their learnings, the challenges they face, and how they continuously adapt to overcome them. I mean, that's all we can do.
Yeah, if it flows in.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's all we can do, right? We can only try.
Yeah.
So let's...
Actually, I teach the students very differently. I don't say try.
Yeah?
I say you can or you can't. One of the two.
Right.
There's no try.
It's basically Yoda from Star Wars. I do or do not, there's no try.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. So I think let's start off with... I would have already given you a formal introduction. There's an intro to the show. But maybe for people who don't know what Sena Studios is about and what is it that you're trying to run? Is this a venture? How would you, in the most brief way possible, define what you're doing right now?
Okay. Brief way possible is going to be tough, but I'm going to try. Vanarsena Studios was started with the intent of being a homegrown Indian content animation studio that can reach the potential heights of a Disney. That doesn't exist in the country right now. We've got some studios doing content for kids and then kind of we're still in the struggling space. As an industry, we're still largely an outsource industry. We're not a content building industry. So I'm hoping that we can... I don't know when this will happen, but I'm going to make sure it happens. That we will get to a point where we are a content building animation studio from India that the world can possibly talk about in terms of quality storytelling and all of that stuff. Vanarsena School is what Vanarsena Studios money is going to do. So Vanarsena School was built so that we can build the ecosystem so that we can provide education, top class animation education to anyone, right? To anyone from any economic background, any language background, racial background, whatever it is. So that, and they don't have to think twice about wanting to learn. All they need is, the only currency involved is dedication. So we don't want to charge a penny for it so that you could be Ambani's kid and you can learn for free, or you could be a rag picker's kid and you could learn for free if your, you know, ambition is to pursue animation. This will, of course, grow into something that I want to be a lot more of. But we don't position ourselves as an NGO or anything on the school because we know the studio will pay for the school. So we will work in the studio. like I say, we'll make money entertaining people and then use that money to educate. So
right. So very interesting thing you just said, which is you get to do this. I mean, you get to learn for free. I mean, but at the end of the day, it is your time. And like you said, dedication is the currency here, right? Mm-hmm. I think that figuring out the right set of people to work with you. And again, I think you mentioned this in one of your previous talks that there is no contract or there is no real, you know, binding document that's kind of getting them legally to, you know, say, okay, we're going to be in this for, let's say, the minimum of 6 months or so. How do you kind of handle something like that? Because, and the reason why I say this is because I've had a little bit of a struggle getting a team around, you know, even my content creation, you know, and the production company that I'm running here. Mm-hmm. Because most people are very, you know, impulsive and excited and, you know how it is, right? You're young, you just want to, you know, everything's flashy when it comes to content, when it comes to media.
Right.
So then people, they sign up and they're like, let's do this. I can't wait to, you know, like get my hands dirty. And forget getting their fingers dirty itself, forget hand, right? The moment they get into it, they're like, my God, this is a lot of work. And then it really takes, you know, some dedication and spunk to kind of, you know, really drive through that, right? And then halfway through, they're like, oh, they'll just give, you know, random reasons and say, yeah, this is not working out for me. So what I have, at least mine is a little bit more on the conventional side where I decided to keep some sort of a minimum tenure, let's say like a 3 to 6 months period. You work with us. This is what we can teach you. This is what we can offer and whatnot, like an internship,
right?
How do you kind of find that balance? And again, what's your fallback option if, let's say, everyone decide to just suddenly leave? Because you have a team and you have work, right?
Right. So, can I answer this with, can I get personal with you?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like your personal
life. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're here for.
Okay, awesome.
Let's get personal.
Awesome. You, when you grew up, you lived with your parents, right? Do you still live with your parents?
No.
Why not?
Couple of reasons. I, first of all, my parents had to move from Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up living with my grandparents, which is pretty much the same thing. I think your idea is you're talking about being dependent, right? And staying
same. No, I'll get to it. Yeah.
Okay. No, so yes. And after that, I think we got hitched.
Mm.
And at that point, my mom's very clear that you need to be independent.
Right.
So like, get the hell out of the house and earn for yourself.
Okay. Would you stay in your house if your mom didn't say that?
No, actually, I would still move out.
Why? Why is that?
I think living on your own sets you up for so many things, right? I think the idea is being independent is one aspect of it. But I think practically, it's very easy for us to, you know, like talk about it from a distance. But when you get into it, it's like, okay, I think I need to do it firsthand. So I decided to actually get
married. Right, you need to have the opportunity to explore what you're capable of.
Sure. Yeah.
One thing, right? If you had that opportunity at home, would you leave?
I think still yes.
Why?
Because it's the back of my mind, it's still like a, you know, there's a plan B or there's a fall, you know, like a fail-safe plan, right?
Why does that worry you? A plan B is a great plan B.
It is. It actually is. But then I think knowing, you know, the freedom that both my wife and I want and the kind of, you know, life we want to put together, I think it kind of works better if it's just the two of us in our own place.
What's that freedom definition?
Very, very tough to define freedom that way. But I think there are obviously times when we can be hassled with work. And you just don't want someone else to come and ask you and prod and all of that.
Exactly, right?
Yeah,
because space, independence, you want your mind space. You want to get a little bit of peace of mind. Now, so I don't want to prod too more. Too much more.
No, please do.
But like, for example, you and your wife are together, right? You guys love each other,
right?
You guys are married. If you didn't have that contract, you'd still be together?
Yes.
Why is that?
I think I've personally always felt marriage is just a little bit more for society than it's for yourself.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So you'd still be together?
Yes.
Because you love each other?
Correct.
Do you need a contract in between?
No, not really.
Right. So
Kind of got the direction the moment you said I'll prod. But yeah.
So I think just asking those couple of questions, right? This is largely the fundamental of what we do. Can I provide freedom? Can I provide independence of thought within our space? Can I provide absolute freedom for ambition? Can I provide you with space for you to sit by yourself? And then can I function with love? there is no reason for you to leave. Of course, there is a plan B, which is why I asked you, is that plan B so bad? Because that plan B probably is what privilege is all about in many sections of society, right? That there is a plan B. We might complain about it, but many people with that privilege do succeed in great ways, right? The ones who do not have that privilege have to struggle a lot more. It's actually one of our plans beyond the school, where at some point when Vanarsena Studios becomes the way it does, we will open up like a space, an ashram, a shelter, where we will provide food, lodging, and education. So that's your plan B. And then you take on plan A because you're willing to take on more risk because there is a plan B.
Correct.
You know, so then the possibility of you as an individual thriving is much, much higher. So what we sell is the potential of a dream. My dream plus your dream, collectively, what can that be? And how can I do it with a lot of love? How can we share space? Like I just told you about what's been going on the last week, right? At home, all of it, their lives are my life, right? So it's not just, oh, you're going to work, you're going to animate, and you're going to just, then you guys figure out your life. Their lives are my life. So I jump in, I dive in head first into their lives to understand what they need, what their ambitions are, what their dreams are, and how can I facilitate this? How can I make sure this happens? If they still want to leave, they're welcome to. But in my experience so far, the ratio of anyone leaving is, or the percentage of anyone leaving is like 10% or 5%. Because there are people who, it's like the joint family structure. It's what I used to constantly say, right? With India, we had the joint family structure. Grandfathers to fathers to brothers to mothers to everyone staying in the same house. That started breaking apart when the person on top started holding power and said, you can't do this. You can't do this in this house. You can't be like this in this house. You can't have your freedom. Don't go out after a certain time. Don't come in after a certain time. We start leaving the house. We're like, I want freedom.
Curtailing freedom. Right.
Right. So then I want freedom. I want to be an individual. And then the entire, I think, I would call it the more modern or the Western concept of individuality. It was never an Indian concept. If you actually took care of the house. Like in the Indian concept, there are the various stages of like ashramas in your life where you have the brahmacharya, blah, blah, blah. All of India remembers the first few. Everyone's forgotten the last one, which is the vanaprastha. The old are supposed to leave. And we don't leave.
Quite the contrary.
Right, exactly, right? They'll talk to you about brahmacharya, be like this, be celibate, listen, do your education, then you get into grahasthya, which is your, you know, family life and all that. All the old people have forgotten vanaprastha, which is where you hand over the power to the next generation and then you leave, which is why this is breaking, which is why the entire system breaks. But that system works because if the elders in our family said, I have done, and not when they're 80 or 90, but when they're, you know, maybe 50 or 60, they've said, I've done what I have to do. You're an adult. Please take over the reins. Now you drive. Wouldn't you live together, right? Wouldn't you all live in one happy family together where the young take care of the old and the younger? And then that community starts growing. But we've forgotten that system.
It's like we've so conveniently picked out one part of it.
We wouldn't, controversial, but we wouldn't have politicians of this age today. Right?
Yeah.
If people understood,
I'd probably cut that. No,
no, right? Because that's the Indian system that was initially put together. But we have picked what is convenient. The Indian older system worked, where you said, "Here, please take over." Like even like we are called Vanarsena, and the Ramayana is very clear about that. Dasharath, at Ram was 24 when Dasharath wanted to hand over the kingdom to him. 24. Who will do that today? Right? He said, take over Ayodhya, I am done. This was at Ram being 24. Like, nobody is going to do this today. Right? But that was the older system, which is why it was efficient, which is why youngsters did not think about freedom, individuality, or like, oh, what are my challenges? Because, yeah, running a kingdom is a massive challenge at 24. Right? So, like, you had these systems in place which worked. Of course, you move away from them, people start getting greedy, people want to hold on to power, then they're going to say, I am 80, but I'm still head of this family. No, you're not, technically, right? You're way too old to be head of this family at this point. And then you get attracted to the concepts of individuality. My space, my life, my mind space, my freedom. Yeah. And you become, like, look at it evolutionarily. And I'm going to probably just jump around a bit.
Yeah, please do.
Humans are not individual animals, right? We're community animals. Correct. Unlike male tigers, unlike what other animals can I think of? Unlike maybe most are community. Elephants are community. Lions are community. Maybe sharks are community. Everything. Like, yeah. So we're not built for individualism.
Got it.
Evolutionarily. Which is why the more you think about individualism, so there's two schools of thought to this. The more you think of Western individualism, the more you start feeling various kinds of trauma, anxieties, depressions, loneliness, all of these things. Whereas in the Indian system, if you learn to be individual, you become a god. So it's very, very different schools of thought. But because in the Western system, they don't teach you how to be an individual, but they just push the idea of individualism, everyone's lost. Everyone's confused. Everyone's wondering what to do. Then money becomes your largest fascinating object. Oh, I'd love that penthouse on the top where I'm sitting alone. Batman is amazing, right?
I like how you jump from the penthouse to Batman.
Right. What is everyone's like, Batman's so cool. Single guy, big house, gadgets, fighting crime.
And there's Alfred.
Right? And there's Alfred who's helping you with whatever bread and butter you want on the side, right? So,
shit.
No, but that's what is sold to us. And that's what we believe is amazing. And which is why today my house looks like a madhouse to a lot of people. Because last week there were 13 people in the house. 13 people, out of which I think one was not living with us. The others, 12, were living in that house. And we are trying to find, okay, can we put a bed here? Can we have a bed there? Can we use this room for something else? Can we start making food for everyone? We're not thinking about money. Money's coming. We're not thinking about peace of mind because there's a garden for you individually to go and sit down and, you know, have your space and then come back. We're not thinking about what resources are used in the house because it's all open. And there's a great vibe. And like, just even the people who come home, they're just like, this vibe is amazing because everyone's laughing, everyone's crying. Of course, we've had our tough times. Not everything's entertainment, but at the end of it, I can see the bonding. Mm. Like last week was amazing. I have not heard so many I love yous in my life, right? Where people are saying that to each other so freely, so openly. And meaning it. Like, sometimes I walk in and I'm just like, what is going on? Because people are hugging each other just randomly, right? So, it's starting.
It's not one of those houses.
It's one of those houses, right? It's becoming that. And I'm like, this is, and which gives me more reason to push to make sure everyone's comfortable, everyone's taken care of. Like today, like I told you, bunch of the guys are sitting with another boy in the house so that he can feel better. And they're doing it. Like, they just look for direction.
And support.
And support. But they know I try my best to take care of them. And they know I'm going to push them towards their ambition. Mm. Like, one wants to leave and join a bigger studio. And I'm like, yeah, great. That's amazing.
You should aspire to do that. Yeah.
I'm like, how soon can you do this? Let's help you get to that goal. So I don't... Like, if everyone leaves, like a question earlier where you said, if everyone leaves, what happens? If everyone leaves, I'm still here. And it started with me, I'll start again. Right? If everyone leaves, I'll probably know what I should not have done or what my learning was, what didn't work. They will leave if something's not working. If you're in paradise, do you want to leave? Right? Yeah. So if people leave, it's a good learning for me. What is not working? What is not from the capitalist standpoint of do they want more salary or any of that, but just what is not working from a space of love? What is not working from a space of providing freedom, providing everything?
A little more empathetic.
A little more empathetic, yeah. Trying to understand could I have done better? Was something the way I treated them not the right way to be? All of that can be figured out and then I'll start again. Right. And I'll see what we can do. But so far it looks like you know, it's going well.
Yeah, it is, because I'm certain it is, because when I spoke to some of these guys back then, right, when they were here for my client's shoot, they all seemed ecstatic and they were happy and they were, you know, they had so much to talk about the space. And I think all of these go back to the basic principles and tenets of forming a community.
Yeah.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
And the moment you, and like you said, we're all societal beings. We're all, you know, part of, you know, the whole individualism is something that is on top of all of these basic principles, right? Which is such a, again, it's up for debate. It depends on how you look at it and how you handle it. And in this case, I think and especially knowing, again, this is politically a big issue now, but today, like, everything is divided in terms of opinions to just how the country is and how, you know, people, and not just our country, a lot of countries. That's like, that has become another tenet, pretty much, yeah, if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
But I think if you can kind of keep the community's happiness and community's empathy, let's put it that way, not just happiness, right? All of the good well-being itself in mind, I think you can transcend all of these other things, right? It comes back to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Audio It Against the Odds is brought to you by Sennheiser. Yep, that's our audio partner. So I'm sure you already know what Sennheiser does. But for people who don't know, you've been either living under a rock or maybe you don't know what these incredible pieces of equipment can really do. So from some of the best industry standard and leading microphones to some incredible headphones to, well, you know, any kind of audio equipment, Sennheiser's got your back. I'll leave a link to pretty much all their products and a catalog in the description below for you guys to go check it out. But yeah, if you like what you're hearing here, it's all because of these microphones. So yeah, you want to go check out the MK4s and the MK8s by Sennheiser. And yeah, truly level your game up when it comes to audio and take it to the next level. Cheers.
It's about the way we've kind of been, it's a lot of unlearning for these kids and unlearning for me also. Like, I used to be someone who used to hate people in MySpace. You come home and you chill and I laugh, and then after about 2 hours, I'm like, okay,
please leave.
You need to leave. So it's been a massive learning for me over the years to understand how, why. I think a lot of it comes from just looking at how the world works, right? And what causes a lot of grief and pain and greed and all these things that come into the picture. And then we're taught this from day one. Like, I find it horrifying, right, that the first thing you learn in school is that you have to be better than the next person so that you get in. Just even for admission, you have to be either richer or smarter or one of the two. Like, schools are closing doors on you. It's your first lesson in life. It's horrible. Right? Like, you can't get the same level of education that someone else can unless you beat that person down. What are we teaching kids? You know, it's such a horrifying thing to learn. Which is why our school is like open door. You come in, you learn, no matter where you're from. If you're dedicated, you'll learn. And if we don't even have a limited number of seats, I am constantly trying to expand the number of my mentors and teachers so that we can accommodate the people we have. Initially, when we started, it was 10 people. It snowballed to 150 very quickly, right? And we've had people come and go and come and go, and for various reasons. But the more we, I think, stand our ground, it's just growing.
Yeah. And I think, I'm sure you have a lot to thank the lockdown and, you know, how the entire space has gone digital, right?
For sure. Yeah. People ask me, how's lockdown? I'm like, amazing. Yeah. I'm like, wow, what timing, right? It's been great. That's why I said, like, first year of lockdown was a school. This year of lockdown has been so much of conversation around the school. Like, this is the second podcast, and this is my, I think, fourth overall podcast, 2 TEDx talks down. People want to hear, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and all of this because of lockdown. Right? All of this because of Corona and all of that stuff, which is, so it's what worked out quite well.
Right.
And I think that's largely the energy you put out there, largely the kind of mindset you want to have and look at a problem and say, okay, what do we do here? You know, it's just been that.
Yeah.
And like I was talking about the families and how people want to be isolated and individualistic. All I had to do was say, I don't want to teach anyone. Lockdown is there. Sit at home, be by myself. Mm. And none of this would have happened. But I was sitting by myself before lockdown. I think lockdown, people started emailing, and I used to say, before lockdown, people used to email, and I'm like, you'll have to be in Bangalore to learn. I'm not teaching online. I'm not doing any of this. And then the number of emails I got during lockdown when they said, can you teach us? And I'm like, okay, let's try this. Why not? I still wasn't getting out of the house, but suddenly there's just people and people and people. Today, there are people around the country. I've never met them, but there's a lot of love. There's a lot of love back and forth. I talk to them. Even the kids who came home, like you said, they were ecstatic, but they just met me for a week. But they knew me for a year. And I've been talking to them. It's like, we're talking animation, we're talking art, and then suddenly they'll be like, so they call me Senapati.
Right.
They're like, Senapati, I want to talk. I'm like, okay. And then one family story will start of what is going on in their lives or what is going on in their personal lives. For some reason, they feel like they can talk. That is what makes me keep the school open. It's not the animation. It's the fact that they find it comfortable that they can talk to someone. There have been a few that have contemplated suicide. There have been a few that have been dealing with way too much trauma, didn't know who to talk to. This is what I keep the school open for. They get to talk. So my focus has largely shifted from animation and animation education. That's there. That has to keep going. That's what will probably bring people on board. But I spend, I think, 80% of the day just talking to the kids.
So like psychology and human empathy and...
Just hoping that they can... How do you put it? Hoping that they can pass this forward someday. Hoping that they can, you know, live in a kinder world. Because I want to live in a kinder world. You know?
Everyone does.
Exactly. Everyone does, but how many act on it, right?
Yeah.
Everyone does. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Right? You on Facebook, Instagram, you'll see it all the time.
Amazing quotes, right?
Amazing quotes. How many choose to actually do something about it? How many choose to live by it?
Right.
And see if they can really put in the effort. You know, instead of just blaming others for not doing it. So I'm hoping that these kids can actually also act on it and move forward and pass that on. And I'm already seeing instances of it.
Right.
I'm already seeing a lot of love in the house. It's fascinating.
And the earlier, the better, right? I mean, more formative years, the more you can kind of pick these up. Like you said, right? The first thing you're taught when you're getting into school is being competitive. But I think something like empathy and these, you know.
It's not taught.
At all. Forget first. It's never taught.
Yeah, never taught. It's never taught. We are not taught to be kind. We're not taught to be giving. We're taught to hoard. We're taught to mark a circle in the sand that is our space. And, you know, we're taught to disconnect from everything around us. We're told it's okay to be selfish and greedy.
Because the world is selfish.
And otherwise, how will you survive?
Yeah.
Right? But you have to survive. My kid has to survive, but nobody else. I'm okay with anyone else not surviving.
And this even is at what someone else's expense.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And this is what we're teaching. This is the result of the corporates today. This is what we see in offices. This is why you need contracts. Because you're scared of someone leaving you. You're constantly driving through fear. You're constantly wondering whether the money you offer is enough because you know it's not enough. You know it's not enough.
That's probably why.
Yeah. Which is why you're so worried about the contract and whether they'll stay and whether they'll, you know, be there. But are you providing more value? Are you providing enhancement to their life? They're not going to go anywhere.
This actually reminds me of this conversation I was having with our mutual friend, Sajanya, and she's talking about how I think her maid, she got a new maid now. And she's just like so depressed because she's so used to her previous help. And so apparently there are a few issues with the new maid. So she was kind of reminiscing about what happened at the previous maid. And she's like, so she used to kind of, you know, with this money lying around, it used to vanish. And it happened a couple of times with the previous maid. And she's, that maid or help's been with her for so many years. So I'm like, how do you deal with that? So she said, I sat her down and I explained to her, see, we've seen this has happened. Money's gone. We know it's happened. But just remember that I've left something far more important with you, which is my kid. I've left my kids, literally my kid's life here. And I'm relying and counting on you to take care of her. So money and all of that is okay. but this is something that's so important to us. So we really trust you.
Mm.
And we'd like that to be a two-way street. So if we have issues, let us know. So then we can sort her. And that kind of conversation invoked something in her that it's never happened after that. And, you know, maybe she might have asked for the pay raise.
Mm.
So it goes back to that. Maybe she wasn't getting paid well.
Right.
Or maybe that's just how she was trained to, or whatever, you know. You never know where she's coming from, right? So, yeah, but then that it's interesting. And this also reminds me of, you know, you go to any of these stores and you see, or let's say, especially a restaurant, and you'll see if you don't get a bill, you know, it's $1,000 on the house. Basically because you don't trust whether the person who's serving you there is going to either pocket it or is going to actually give you a bill.
You don't
trust,
yeah. There's so much. We're taught to not trust from day one. You were taught to, like, everyone's an asshole, right? This is what we're taught from day one.
Yeah.
Be careful. And of course, there are. They exist. Like, one of the girls in the house, the way she dresses at home and the way she dresses outside. And we've spoken about it. And I told her, let's not deny the fact that it's a jungle out there, which is why we have to be cautious. But then let's not forget kindness in the process. And let's not forget that there is freedom. But, like, you're not going to walk into a jungle without a spear or you know, a gun. You're going to walk into a jungle knowing that there are predators out there. But in the process, you're not going to go kill a deer. Right?
That's not like a silver lining.
Right. You're not going to do that just because, oh, the jungle is entirely scary. Like, you have to learn that balance, and you have to learn, like, yes, people can be assholes. But if you're going to teach the kid that is the only thing out there, that's not a fair viewpoint.
Holistic.
Yeah, that's not. Then the kid only learns that. Then the kid only learns to do that, be that. And then as they grow up, then it's competition throughout. It's survival of the fittest. You're an animal at the end of the day. You're going to try to survive no matter what. And this thing called money has become everyone's biggest focus. Because what are we seeing on TV? What are we hearing on the radio? It's just buy this, buy this, buy this. Happiness, happiness, happiness. Nobody's happy at the end of the day, right? You're just constantly looking for things to buy. Look at the size of the malls. Like, I would say I've been happy for a very long time. I probably own 3 pieces of t-shirt and maybe something to wear below that. And I haven't bought anything new in a while. Most of the other things are gifted to me, which is great. People don't seem to understand this because of what we are taught. It's not their fault. It's just, this is how everything is working. We are taught, this is better, this is better, this is better. Oh, you have this car. No, let's go for that car. Oh, and even just coming into relationships. Oh, this relationship is not good. Maybe you should try another one, right? Maybe that could be better. So we don't have the time or the bandwidth to even work on the first one.
It could be better, right?
Right. Everything could be better. You could be better, right? As a person, you could be better. Are you going to just let go and say, you know, oh, let's not try this. Let's try another body. Not going to happen, right?
It doesn't work that way.
Well, in the Indian concept, it works.
Yeah. Across like a long, long period. Right, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it works because like segue, suicide.
Yeah.
The Indians didn't care about suicide because, and you didn't have to stop someone from suicide or you didn't have to be so scared of it because in the Indian philosophy, you're coming back.
It's a good one. So the whole basic concept of suicide itself doesn't exist. There's no killing yourself.
Yeah, you're going to kill this body. You're coming back.
It's a good one.
And you could be coming back as an ant or a dog, which is far more scary as a human being. You're like, no, then I'm not killing myself. Let me work on this. Right? Which the other philosophies don't have. They're like, oh, you'll kill yourself and then what will happen? People think it's the end.
The gates of heaven.
Right, gates of heaven. People think that it's the end of their misery when they kill themselves. In the Indian concept, they're like, it's only the beginning of a misery if you do kill yourself. If you think this is tough,
you're screwed.
You're screwed if you try that. I think that's great.
That's a good one. Oh, man. Yeah. I've not thought about it that way, but it makes sense.
Karma, rebirth, all of this. It exists in our system for a reason. So that people learn to live this life better, rather than, you know, jump into the next life or jump into be cruel or jump into be greedy, because you're like, this is coming back to you. Like, there are concepts of karma, runanubandha, all these kind of things, which as you delve into deeper, you become physically active, mentally static. You know, so you will work without a thought of greed, without a thought of intent, without a thought of I want something. You just start then giving, which is why you had so many sages and gurukuls and stuff in this land, you know, like across the subcontinent, because that was the philosophy here. You actually, the more educated you become, the more you learn that there's no point to all of this. You give. And there's a lot more energy you derive from seeing people thrive, right? Like, you see every person thrive and there's a lot more you get out of it, which is why, like, my kids are already like, you know, you don't worry, when you're old, we're taking care of you. I said, okay.
Yeah. I didn't ask for it, but yeah, thank you, I guess. Yeah.
Great philosophy, because I've told them that, you know, if in 20 years I'm still Senapati, I've failed. This system has failed. So I'm working towards that. There will be a new Senapati in 20 years. And then they joke about what happens when I get old and, you know, coughing and dying somewhere. And they're like, no, we'll put him in a corner, give him some paints, he'll be happy. But they're looking at taking care. And that's, so the thought is coming in. For 24, 25-year-olds, the thought of, no, we want to just go live our lives is slowly kind of diminishing, where they're like, no, let's take care of the system because it seems like an interesting system. Like, when I was 24, I didn't think of taking care of my dad. These kids are thinking about taking care of me. Just the thought is interesting, right? That in this, we'll see, this is only in the first 3 months. We'll see what it looks like in a year. It might just be a whole different animal.
Yeah, for sure. What you just mentioned now is so interesting. You said physically active, mentally static, right? Which, and you mentioned it a little bit more in the positive light. But that can completely be a double-edged sword, right? In the sense, you can be, if you think about it, most people today are doing that where the mental static bit is they've already, you know, stuck onto maybe consumerism, or they're happy with, okay, this is what I need to strive for. Money is the most important thing. And that doesn't change. Mentality is still the same, but they're constantly working at it. They're, you know, building towards that as much as possible, but not really, you know, keeping their mind lubricated, I want to say that, and really think your, or like you said, it's about settling on the right, you know, a right kind of way you look at it, the attribute. The moment you get that, then you can kind of work towards it, right? So I think in your example, you're talking about how you didn't have to worry about greed. You didn't have to worry about all of these negative bits because you're already clear, you're crystal clear on your why, right? And once you have that, then it's easy for you to get going and, you know, you act or work towards it. Right. If I've gotten it right?
So when I say mentally static, I think, yeah, I should clarify that a little bit. Mm-hmm. It is actually mentally static, where it's not, like you said, when you're thinking about, I want this ambition, or I want this goal, or I want to do this, or I want more money, or I want more greed, and that becomes a single thought that you have in your head. Right. You're still thinking. I'm saying, no, you're not thinking when I say mentally static. There is no thought in your head. There is only action.
Like, is it because you're crystal clear on what you
want?
Yeah,
like if you want a cup of coffee, I'll be like, okay, let me get you a cup of coffee. I'm not thinking about why. I'm not thinking about what you'll do for me or whether I like you. Nothing. It's just, okay, you want a cup of coffee? Here's a cup of coffee. There's no thought. So, which takes a lot of practice, a lot of years, which is what a lot of the knowledge systems in India talk about. People talk about it fancily, being mindful, being present.
Stoic.
All of that. That is mentally static, because then you're not overthinking even to the second sentence. You're not kind of planning out what this action of mine means. Mm. Like, this action is required, therefore I will do.
And it's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that.
No, overthinking it is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you...
Justifying.
You're justifying. It's like, oh, like for example, you say, hey, I like your nose ring, I want it, I'll just take it out and give it to you. And I won't think, oh, but it's expensive, oh, but it's this, it's that, it's mine. No. It's a straightforward act then at that point, right? So if you can get to this point, then you're mentally static and physically active, because you're playing the part you need to play.
Yeah.
And you're going through the motions, And at all points, there are no thoughts that are making you feel uneasy, uncomfortable, sad. It's a great space where you're starting to look at everything in a very, very nice, fun, beautiful way.
Yeah.
And you're like, he asked for my nose ring. I gave him my nose ring. He's happy. Wow, nice. Right? You're looking at it that way instead of, what does he need? Why is he asking me this?
Yeah.
What is his intent? None of that. So then the mind is not playing games with you anymore. It's not about a single thought that you're focused on. It's more about the mind not jumping around and playing games with you, which is our biggest problem.
Yeah.
Like it's, I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, creativity is your biggest tool and you can use a knife to carve something or, you know, stab yourself. Yeah. You have to pick what you want to do with it. So you decide what you want to do with this creativity. Half the times the things we worry about is just creative. It's just our mind going into a spin and saying, this is the world that could possibly be happening, although it's maybe not, right? And that's what we are worrying about. I could think of you and assume what your intent is, but I don't know you. So that could be pure imagination.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So then what's the point of this?
And we do that a lot. Right?
We do that a lot. Yeah. We do that every day.
Every
second we do that. So it's like, okay, what is this? What is the point of all this? If you really ask yourself that, like one of the things I tell my kids is ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen? The day you know this, a lot of stuff opens up. I don't have money. What's the worst that can happen? I don't have love. What's the worst that can happen? Nothing. Right? Then what is this struggle for? What is this race for? What are you trying to really jump into? But what's the best that can happen? There's a lot of answers. Right? When you let go of all of this. Worst, there's really nothing. At the end of it, nothing happens, you'll die. Then what? Nothing.
You're reborn again and...
Right. You're going, if you believe in that philosophy, you're coming back.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in that philosophy, you have no thought anyway.
Correct.
At the end of it. So what is the point of this? You're leaving no mark here. Right? Human history is a blip. So you're leaving no mark here.
Human history, that not even our lives.
Yeah, not even our lives. Human history is a blip.
Yeah.
Right? Civilizations are a blip. You probably know history from the last 300 years as maybe some form of definite.
Yeah.
Nothing before that. So people before that came and went and did a lot of stuff thinking they were damn important. You know, what is the point of all this? If you can't be happy on a daily basis. So which is why people are like, oh, but that's your opinion. There's right and wrong. I'm like, if you're happy, I have nothing to argue with you about. If you're unhappy, if you have questions, I can help. I'm very happy. Right? So this is, every day looks like a great day. So you have to decide the kind of life you want to live. You want to live a narrative of sadness, that's up to you. There's no right and wrong. You will face the consequences of it. Then you'll wonder why the world is like that to you. Or you can choose to change that narrative. This is, I'm not saying my way is right, but I'm very happy doing it.
Yeah.
Right? It's simple as that.
So yeah, that's part one of my conversation with Vivek. Part two will be out sometime in the coming few weeks. So yeah, hit that subscribe button to ensure that you don't miss out. And yeah, if you're listening to this over audio, then hit that follow button. Yeah, did you like the conversation? What do you think of it? Well, I'm assuming that you stuck around till now because you liked it. Otherwise, like I keep saying on each and every episode, it's been like what, 45, 50, 55 minutes of this conversation and you're still here. What are you doing? So obviously you liked it and you also promised me right at the beginning of the episode that if you did like it, then you will hit that like button. So yeah, if you're watching this right now on YouTube, hit the like button. It will literally cost you nothing, but it'll mean the world to me. It'll tell the YouTube algorithm gods that this video is nice and it can be pushed more in front of more people. And that way, newer people discover the show and well, we get to share the value and spread the joy. Spread the joy. Sounds so cliche, right? But yeah, hit the like button if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you are listening to this over audio and you'd like to support the show, then you can do a very simple thing. Just go to the overview of the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. It takes you not more than 10-15 seconds to leave that rating and review, but it will mean the world to me. Like I've said time and again, it's not easy for people to discover new shows or discover audio podcasts. So leaving a rating and review will let the algorithm know, in this case, a different algorithm, albeit, We'll let them know that, hey, this show is good. This episode's nice. And, well, I think other people can also gain some value from it. At least that's what I'm hoping. So, yeah, leave a rating and review if you're listening to it over audio. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, send in your videos to contact@akashdamodhan.com. If you have a question for me, if you have a question for my guest, if you just have plain old feedback about the show, then send us your videos to the email ID mentioned in the description below. And finally, share the episode with your friends or just someone special. Don't be selfish. If you like the episode, then just spread the joy, yo. Get the episode in front of more people. Help me out here. Dude, I'm doing everything I possibly can to ensure that this whole thing is story told well. Is that the way you say it in the past? Well, I'm just ensuring that this episode and this show in general has a nice narrative to it. I'm really trying my best to just look into the void of the lens and talk as freely and openly as I possibly can. My God, it is really awkward to do that. For anyone who hasn't done it, I dare you. It's a challenge. Switch on the camera, look at the camera. If you have a phone, look at your phone and try to maintain eye contact with the lens and really talk for 10 minutes straight. It's a big, big challenge. I've seen my clients really, really struggle with it. I've seen myself struggle with it. I'm struggling with it right now. But you know what? I'm doing all of this so that way I can really show you what it takes to build a show from nothing. And that's what I've really been trying to do all along here, right? So the more you can help out with supporting the show by getting it in front of more people, the more I can help others in that whole process as well. So yeah, share the episode with your friends or your family members or someone special. And yeah, I guess that's it. Do I have anything else here? Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much it. On the next episode though, we have the writer of the hit show, The Family Man, starring Manoj Bajpayee and Priyamani. That's right, we have Suman Kumar, who's the writer of the show, on our show next week. So yeah, stay tuned for that. But up until then, ciao.